I do want to let those of you know who are being mistreated, whether you are people who have tried to make it into this land in hopes of living a better life, those of us who already live in the land and have been here for generations, and we have lived the struggle, our struggle here, for generations, for decades, for centuries. I want you to know that God really does love us, and so often, so very, very often, our leaders do not reflect the values of the Creator. They do reflect values. And very often they will try to make it seem like they're doing God's will. That's why you have some who will pull out the Bible and start quoting scripture, refusing to be honest even in their use of scripture. How should the foreigners be treated? Does God say anything about that? And if he does, how good a job are the saints, quote unquote, the Christians, quote unquote, the children of God, quote unquote, doing when it comes to doing things God's way? How are we doing? Well, listen to Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 and 34. When an alien lives with you, or a foreigner lives with you, or an immigrant lives with you in your land, do not mistreat him. Talking to the business owners, the executives of companies, talking to the politicians, talking to those who are the others of we the people. Do not mistreat him. The alien, the foreigner, the immigrant living with you must be treated as one of your native born. And the understanding was that the people of Israel would treat people born as Israelites with respect, with concern, with care, and that they would be just and equitable, fair in their dealings with fellow Israelites. And God was telling them through his servant Moses, through the prophet Moses, through his friend Moses, do not mistreat the alien, the foreigner, the immigrant. That person living with you must be treated as one of your native born. Love him as yourself. For you were aliens, foreigners, immigrants in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And the Lord God Almighty commanded his people, who said they were his people, the people of God, to love the alien, the foreigner, the immigrant, the way they love themselves. So many people who are in America are in America as a result of someone in their family, someone of their ancestors having made a decision they wanted to come to America to live a better life. We know that many of the black people are here as a result of a decision of many of those who were from Europe and who were shipped over here by Europeans, because very often they were considered to be the refuge of the countries that shipped them over here. They were considered the undesirables by those who were in authority who had them shipped over here. That's part of the real reality that isn't taught in the school history books. But when you get down to real history and not propaganda, institutionalized propaganda, academic propaganda, but you're reading real history. It's not just that some people from the European nations want to come over here for a better life. Many of those who were sent from the European continent were shipped over here against their will because they were considered incorrigible, undesirable, etc. And so rather than just keep them locked up in prison or kill them, the authorities had them shipped to this country. And the Lord God says, remember, you too were foreigners, aliens, immigrants. You love the foreigner, the alien, the immigrant, as you love yourself. Leviticus 19, verses 33 and 34. How many of you truly love God? Do you love God enough to love humanity enough to treat humanity the way God commands us to treat humanity? The Lord Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you are truly, sincerely, genuinely, continually having love for me, you will be continually obeying what I have instructed, directed, commanded you to do. And of course, the converse of that is true also. If we do not genuinely love the Lord Jesus, we will show that by continually disobeying him, by continually refusing to keep his commandments. We'll pick and choose which commandments we obey and which commandments we disobey, which ones we embrace and which ones we reject. That, ladies and gentlemen, is not a genuine love for God. That is not a genuine love for Christ, and he knows that. No matter how well you play the game on this earth, and you may be fooling other people, you're not fooling the persons God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit. They are fully aware of the real deal. They know where each one of us really are. And that's why they can say, these people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Luke chapter 10, where the Lord Jesus spoke the parable about the Good Samaritan in response to a question that was asked of him, where a scribe, an expert in the law, one who helped to write the law, keep it written, and who made sure that the people knew what the law said and helped to interpret the law as a professional, as supposedly his area of expertise, asked the Lord Jesus this question: what must I do to inherit eternal life? One of the things that the Bible teaches us is that eternal life is something to be gained and held on to once it is gained. That's why it talks about the concept of final salvation. That's why we're told we've got to continue once we've started. How are we doing when it comes to inheriting eternal life, gaining it and holding on to it?